How many of y'all got a Bible? Wave it at me. I'll wave mine at you. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I've got what I call a timely message. And I want you to go there. Let me ask this question while you're going to 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. How many of you, this is your first Sunday back? Raise your hand. I want to just get a little idea. That's great. Welcome home. Welcome back. I want to give you good news. So far, so good. What we've been doing has worked. Nobody's been sick. There's no reports of that. But thank God for that. And somebody got on the Facebook yesterday and did a little survey. One of the preachers said, are you still afraid of the coronavirus? Now, I'm going to tell you what I said. I said, no. I've never been afraid of it. But listen, but I do respect it. And you got to have a little common sense. Somebody say, amen. I ain't afraid. Hey, listen, God hadn't given me the spirit of fear, but of sound mind. But we do respect it, and that's why we're doing the right things to keep us all healthy. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. If you're there, say amen. Is it possible that you could stand? I'll let you stretch a minute. And let me read this now. If I mess up some of my reading, it's on the wall, correct? Because I'll have eye surgery on Thursday, and it's not a big procedure, but I will be able to get my sight back. They tell me. So just a little phenomenon going on in my eyes. So I apt to mess something up. It's not that I'm using another Bible. It's just I'm seeing kind of everything foggy, okay? Y'all all got it? Amen. I'm going to have to look real close. 1 Chronicles 12. The Bible said, and of the children of Issachar, which were men. Now notice this statement. That had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. And of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. And then Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them, with shield and spear, 30 and 7,000. And of Dan, the Danites, experts, let me get this, y'all bear with me, okay? In war, 20 and 8,000. And 600, and of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. And on the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites and the Gadites, and half of Manasseh, with all manner of instruments of war for battle, 120,000. And all these men of war that could keep rank, came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest of the Israel were of one heart to make David king. Somebody say amen. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking for their brethren and prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread and asses and camels and mules and on the oxen and meat and meal, cakes of figs. Boy, I like you. I'm about ready to eat. And lunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, listen to this, for there was joy in Israel. Our Father, I ask you right now to help me preach like I've never preached before. I know what's on my heart. I know, God, the burden that you put on me for this message. I pray that our people would be people that understand the times, that they're not threw off, that they're not threw off their game, that they're still serving you, that they understand what's going on, and they understand they got a king, and that king is Jesus. And I pray today that you'll help us in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Thank you for your patience with my reading, which was a little slow. But I want you to look at this passage of scripture, and I want to say a few things by way of introduction. Saul had become king of Israel. I'll give you a little background. Saul had become king of Israel. Now, by the way, he became king because the people clamored for a king. And I want to say this to you. It wasn't God's will for them to go that route. Because, see, God was their king. But that crowd wanted somebody else to be king. Now, I want you to know, Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody else. He looked better. He was larger. He was a man's man. But I want you to know what happened. God rejected Saul. Somebody help me preach. You say, Preacher Smith, why did he reject him? Because Saul's heart was wrong. Had Saul operated and served God with mixed obedience?
Amen.
Am I preaching? And I didn't mean to go here, but I'm going here. You know what's wrong with our country today and our churches today? We got some people, their feet, they're straddling the fence. They're what I call mixed obedient. Oh, I'll be obedient to the stuff I like, but I won't be obedient to everything. Hello. Man, I didn't even know I was going that route. You say, is that in your notes? Nope. God rejected him. And then God raised up a man named David. Somebody help me preach. And the Bible says a lot about him. It says this, he was a man after God's own heart. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. I want you to know something. God chose him. Hey, David was serving God when he was watching over the sheep. David, hey, glory to God. Hey, when Samuel came to him and anointed him king, he's just a boy. But I want you to know he was faithful over the sheep, over the killing a lion and a bear. He was faithful even though he wasn't king yet. Somebody say amen. By the way, you don't have to be way up here to be faithful. Hey, you don't have to have a big name to be faithful. You just serve God. Somebody help me. Whew. I'm trying to get on, but I'm starting to bog down. Amen. You know his life. He run from Saul most of his life because here's what happened. Saul had his thousands and David had his 10,000s. And what happened is, hey, by the way, what happened there happens a lot in church, happens a lot in society. Saul got jealous. Somebody help me preach. I don't, you know what? If this coronavirus taught us anything, it ought to teach us that it don't matter who sings, nor even who preaches. What really matters is if it got God on them. Somebody help me preach right there. Now, we haven't been able to do it the way we always do it, but I want you to know something. Even when you don't do it the way you always do it, aren't you glad I got a God that comes on the scene that's able to take over? Amen. Saul run him all over the kingdom, tried to kill him. And by the way, a couple of times, David could have killed him. And he proved it to him because he cut a little piece off of his garment to lay it there to show him you could have been a dead man. But I'm going to give you a little principle here. But listen to this. David had passion for God, but he didn't let his passion overrun his principle. And the principle is God said, don't lay anything to any charge of God's anointed. And by the way, before you ever be anything for God and understand anything, you've got to keep your passion and your principle in balance. Because I want to be honest with you, every one of us, in a while, I get passionate and see some knucklehead acting like a knucklehead. Somebody help me preach, and I just like to put a knot on their head, or Roberts can't pray off. You say, why don't you? Because I don't let my passion overcome my principle. Boy, that's good preaching. And I don't mean to be bogging down in my introduction so much, but I am anyhow. There's great division at this time. And here's what was happening. There was 1 Chronicles 12 was 7 years after the death of Saul. And the king of Ishbosheth was king over the north and David over the south. And there was a division. And here's what the people said, Chad. We want one king. We want one king. And we're tired of this division. We're tired of this confusion. We're tired of this mess. Have you ever seen America more divided? I have not even in the 50s, with all that went on in the 50s and 60s, I've never seen America so mad and so angry and so divided. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what we need to do. We need to come under the banner of a king. We need to come under the banner of somebody that's got authority. And it's not a John Smith. And it's not a deacon board. No, it's not a trustee board. It's not a board in the church. But I'm talking about King Jesus. Amen. They said they knew he was God's man because he had been faithful. He had faith. And David was a man of character. By the way, God made him king because of his heart. God made him king because of his holiness. God made him king because of his habits. God made him king because of his humility. Hey, I want you to know, thank God for David and his kingship. I'm getting to my place, and I'm trying to hurry. I read this. Did y'all heard all that reading? And something jumped out at me, Rich. This one tribe called Issachar, here's what it said about them. It said they were men that understood the times. I want y'all to know something. It is highly important for every one of you in this room to understand what's going on right now. Somebody help me preach. We're in a day, and they were in a day of political unrest. Hey, this country's in a mess politically. Amen. I'm going to do it anyhow. I was about half mad yesterday, Wayne. Mad on purpose. Because those 5-9 people that wears them dresses up there in the Washington, D.C. called the Supreme Court voted 5-4 that a governor could tell us how many people that we could have in church. Hello. Now, some of you ought to thank God for our governor that hadn't done that to us. Somebody help me preach. But that governor in Michigan and some of them other governors, they ain't got enough sense. God gave a goose. Somebody help me preach. You said you're going to get in trouble on Facebook and on social network. I don't care. I've stayed in trouble for 42 years. I'm going to tell it like it is. There's social discord. I want y'all to know, I'm going to go on record some more, so y'all listen carefully. I don't believe that any person ought to be a racist. I don't believe that. We ought to be beyond that. So we ought to understand the times enough that that ought not to happen. Am I preaching? That ought not be that way. I want y'all to know something else. And I'm going to say this. And I'm probably going to get some hate mail. That's all right. If they come down on me, y'all protect me, will you? But because one police officer done something wrong, that doesn't mean every one of them's wrong. And if you listen to the press today, they make you think that every police officer is bad. And what they're doing is putting a target upon those police officers, and shame on them. I want you to know, somebody breaks in your house, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to call the police, and I am too. And I'm glad we got a bunch of police in our church and a bunch of firemen in our church and first responders in our church. And I thank God for them. And I'm not going to, amen. I just, I understand the times that we're living in. Today, unrest. I'll tell you what's happening in the cities in America right now. A bunch of left-wing anarchists. Hey, 80% of the people that's rioting are from other states. We need to understand the times. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what. They knew who they were. They knew who their king was. And they knew who God was. Somebody help me preach. And the more I live, y'all better hear me, I'm almost to get to my points. I won't be long on my points. I done found out that my introduction's going to take most of my time this morning. The more I live, it's hard to find people that are sure of where they're going. Come on, help me. It's hard to find people that are settled in what they believe. Look at me. You can't change me. I'm an independent, fundamental, shingle rattling, hellfire and brimstone Baptist preacher, and I was 42 years or 47 years ago, and I am today. Hey, I'm not going with the fad. I'm not going back to the Southern Baptist. I'm not going to unite with some idiotic group. I'm staying what I am because I've settled in my beliefs. And when you're settled in your beliefs, you'll understand the times. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen. Yeah. I'm trying to. See, they were coming under one king. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I put a little star beside this. Don't y'all flinch. It is sad that the average Christian is to try to fight a battle without a clue. I know some people, they don't have a clue. And I'm going to say something to you. You know who the enemy is? How many know who he is? It's the devil. And it's not your fellow church member. Somebody help me preach. Sometimes we get in a fight with each other. Hey, it ain't each other's the problem. It's the devil. You have something in the home to try to destroy your home. It's the devil. Somebody help me. You don't need to fight each other. You need to fight him. I'm hurrying. Let me give you four principles. Let me ask all of you. Don't raise your hand. I just want to ask you. Are you a person that can be counted on this church because you understand the times? Well, I will see here in a minute. There's four characteristics of people that understand the times. And I found it in this tribe of Issachar. Number one, and I'll try to move on. Verse 32, they were focused. The Bible, it says this, they knew what Israel ought to do. Thank God. I'm thankful for people that are focused. Hey, I'm excited about this offering. 2 years ago, or actually it was 3 years ago, we went by faith to build that building out there. And because we believed that was what God told us what to do. Somebody say amen. And I want you to know, I still believe the God that guides provides. Raise your hand if you could shout there. They knew what Israel ought to do. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, you're going to leave here in a minute and you're going out in a crazy, vile, immoral world, and you better know what to do. Number one, they were conscious of the situation. Are you? I'll tell you how conscious I am. Are you still conscious enough that you'll defend your kids against the stuff that's facing them every day? Somebody help me preach right there. We've got a bunch of kids today that don't have no direction. You know why they don't have no direction? Mom and dad don't have any direction. Hey, are you willing to defend your marriage and know what to do in your marriage? Hey, you can't snap your finger and have a good marriage. You got to build your marriage on principle, on the facts of the Word of God. You can't have a secular marriage and expect it to last. Oh, I am, buddy. Let me go on. Not only were they conscious of their situation, they were capable of supervision. Look at that, Chad, the last part of that. The Bible said they had 200 heads, and their brethren followed them. Somebody say amen. See, a soldier was training another soldier. You want to know when this church is going to, and by the way, it's a great church. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why this is a great church. We got people training other people to be the right kind of Christian. So, hey, by the way, the pastor can't do all that. That's the job of the membership and the job of the leaders, is to get somebody under your wing, somebody help me preach, and train them so they can become capable. I want to ask you a question. Are you capable enough to become a certified instructor? Good preaching, Reverend. Hey, Isaac, somebody help me. By the way, I'm going to say this. Jeff, I'm trying to be good today, but I've already crossed the line a couple times anyway. You better watch out for that brother or that sister that says, come over to my little crowd. And they'll tell you, don't go too fast now. Don't grow too fast. Don't get too excited. Don't you become a radical. Don't you follow John Smith now. Now, he's just a man. Don't you follow his leadership. Don't you follow those godly deacons? Am I preaching? Come on now. I'm preaching. Quiet in here, but I'm still preaching. Some of you, maybe you're trying to get breath. I don't know what's happened to you. Then they were consistent in their service. Come on now. They were faithful. How many of you? You're faithful. You're at your post. Now, I'm going to do something here. And some of you preachers and my staff can, I want to applaud every one of you that has not been here over the last 12 weeks, but you've been by your post praying for your preacher, paying your tithe, and doing your best. And in the middle of this pandemic, we're 1% higher this year in our offerings than we were last year. And last year was a record year. Somebody help me preach. Hey, glory to God. Number two, let me hurry. They were followers. Look at verse 38. I want you to see this. If I don't get the rest of this, I'm going to get this. Are y'all there? Look at here. Now, named all them tribes, then said, all these men of war that could keep what? Somebody say it. Keep what? They were followers. Now, I'm not very good at military stuff. Now, I was good to see Karen back. She's the sergeant major of the church. I don't know much about that, but I do know this. There's generals, there's captains, and there's people that had to follow orders. Am I preaching? You, if you're going to understand the times and you're going to be able to overcome, you've got to be a person that can take orders. Boy, it's quiet in here now. I think I killed about half of you. You know what said they kept rank? They knew who the authority was. Somebody say amen. They were submissive people. I want to say this about this church. And we'll get to celebrate in a couple weeks, I believe. I've seen God move for 42 years. I mean moved, buddy. You know why he's moved? Because y'all's had a good follower spirit. And he's moved. Boy, he's moved. I am not going to let the two people or three people that might be in my church who you can't help overshadow everybody else that follows and loves God. You know why you should follow? Because you understand the times. Whew. Boy, what's good preaching anyhow? Uh-huh. Now, Lois, I put something in my notes here. Put my little star. Right now, your pastor's going to become a prophet. I am, for the first time this year, going to give you a prophecy. Some of you are a nervous wreck. Here's my prophecy, Brother Rich. If you don't do good at following, you'll stink at leading. If you can't be a follower, God help you, you'll never become a good leader. You'll stink. Somebody help me. I just preached some good stuff right there. Then they were sincere. But we're not of a double heart. Now, I'm almost done. Don't y'all, you ain't come to church tonight. You're listening live stream, so you can last another couple minutes. Whew. They were not double hearted. Now, you cannot be a hypocrite. You cannot be a hypocrite. I'll say it again. And please God. I had somebody call me the other day, and I blew their mind, Jeff. Said, you do know you have a couple hypocrites in your church. I said, yeah, you want me to tell you who they are? Hold on, man. You cannot be a hypocrite and understand the times. And there are some folks that go to Baptist churches and other churches that are plain old hypocrites. But I want you to know you ought not let a hypocrite stand in your way, because if they are, they're closer to God than you are. Amen. Just don't listen to that bunch. I know I've got them. Every church has them. It don't take long to hear their critical, murmuring, mouthy self. But I'm thankful I ain't looking at a one or a two. I'm looking at a God that's got a group of soldiers in this church that I understand the times. Amen. I'm giving you two more points, and they're just going to be brushed over. But I got to give them to you. Verse 40. Look at it. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even of Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali, listen, they brought bread of asses and camels and mules and oxen and meat and meal and cakes of figs and bunches of raisins. Woo! Number three, they were fruitful. They came for a celebration. I want you to know something. I came out here, and I've already had a little bit of it. I came out here this morning for a celebration. I'm celebrating Jesus is still on the throne, that he'll never leave me nor forsake me and go all the way with me. Somebody, and I'm, hey, when I came this morning, I came and brought something to him. It's not hard for me to tithe to a king. It's not hard for me to go above my tithe and give a mission offering or give a building offering this morning. How many believe he's worthy of it? See, here's the problem. A lot of people come to church and all they want to do is get. And they're not coming to church with a giving attitude. I personally believe if everybody in this room and you, that's, the church hadn't made it yet on live stream, would give what you can do to this offering, Jared Green will go out and pay this building off tomorrow. But I'm not going to tell you about it till next Sunday. And we'll have that thermometer and we'll let it start rising. But I tell you what, I do have enough faith to do. I done called the banker and invited him on the 14th of June to come out and bring the note with him. And we're going to burn it on Jubilee Sunday. Somebody help me. Help me. Well, glory, help me preach. And lastly, and I'm done, they were fulfilled. Look at the last part of this. I'm done. Lois, come. For there was joy in Israel. Let me ask you something. Is there joy in your heart? You said, preacher, they can't be joy in my heart. There's too much ugliness going on. I've watched the riots this week. I've seen many of our American citizens die of this coronavirus. I can't have, yes, you still can have joy in the midst of sorrow. If you understand the times. Now, this is extra preaching. But I'm going to say this, Jeff. This coronavirus is being used of God, I think, to bring us closer. But it also has been used by the forces of evil to start ushering in something. If it can shut us down right now, what's going to happen at the rapture? What's going to happen once they take the mark of the beast? Yes, sir. They're already talking about putting a chip in your hand to follow you everywhere. They're already saying, we're going to get your cell phone and follow you everywhere to track you. I personally believe it's nothing more than ushering in what's coming soon. Yes, sir. I understand that. Stand with me, head bow. How many of you right now say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Raise your hand if you say. Thank you. How many right now say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be. Raise your hand. Anybody? How many Christians right now say, you know what? I want to get closer to God. I'm not where I ought to be. Sometimes I operate without having a clue. Won't you? How many right now raise your hand and say, I need prayer this morning. Pray for me. All of the house. We're going to sing. Won't you come to the altar and pray?